Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2014 Home Education Conference held in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
This is Help, I Don't Know How to Teach That. My name is Dana Wood, and I'm going to help you learn how to teach that. For those of you who weren't in my class that I taught earlier, I have been homeschooling this fall. It will be 30 years. I have 10 children. I am graduating my 7th graduate on Friday, and so I only have 3 left at home. I only have 9 more years of school left before I get to retire. So how many of you have been homeschooling your child for high school for any length of time? Okay. And how many of you are just starting out or haven't started yet? Okay. And how many of you, like I said in my last class, are scared to death that you've screwed up your child? Okay. Well, I'm here to tell you that you don't screw up your children. They do a good job of doing that themselves. It's not because of you. So we're going to talk about different ideas on how to get the education that your child needs in ways that suit your family and suit your child and help them be able to pursue the dreams that they have for their future. Okay, the first thing is obvious. You can learn with your child. Now, what does that mean? That means that you pull out the books and they pull out the books and you sit down together and you study together. I've done this with at least one subject with my kids while they've been in high school. It depends on, each child. It's a different class. But if you really want to get to know your child and if you really want to develop a relationship with them, if you are both learning, it's amazing how that changes that dynamic. Now, if you're the teacher and the child's the student, that's a different ball of wax. But if you are both learning something at the same time, so you're reading the same books and you're going through the same experiences and you're both struggling to learn whatever it is that you're learning, that's a great way to learn something with your child. And you don't have to be an expert. And you can also, you're modeling to your child the idea that learning does not stop when they finish their high school years, that learning continues, and that you're never too old to learn. Okay, the second thing that you can do is you can find a mentor. I have done this upteen times with multiple classes that my children have been taught. There's two ways you can do that, and it ties in with trade. So if you, like my boys wanted to take chemistry, not my forte. They wanted to do upper-level algebra, not my forte either. But I had two different friends. One friend knew chemistry very well, but she hated teaching science to her younger children. So I taught science to her younger children, which I could do, and then she took my kids and taught them chemistry. And then I did the same thing with my boys for their upper level math classes. It's not something I can do, but I can teach a child to write. So I tutored her daughter in writing and in literature, and she tutored mine in math. And we did that for several years, and it was very successful because my boys had somebody else to report to rather than me, but it was still low-key, and it wasn't a stress class. You can also, I have traded people teaching sewing classes for other classes that people need to do. I've taught all different types of things. This year I did an AP biology class for high schoolers while somebody else taught different classes to my children. And if you trade back and forth like that, it allows your child to be able to have other people be their teachers besides you. As far as finding a mentor, as you're looking for mentors, if your child has something that they really are passionate about, you can find people who are passionate about it themselves. And when you're looking for a mentor, you're not just looking for someone who They know something about that. You're looking for someone who is passionate about it. And when you find someone who is passionate about it, they're looking for other people to share their passion with. And so they are ideal candidates for you to pick their brain and allow your child to pick their brain. And so I have found mentors for my kids on all sorts of things. My kids are mostly artsy types, so we found mentors for them for music and for acting and for painting and all those other kinds of things that art classes are just... Your basic art class just isn't going to cover it, or your basic piano lessons aren't going to cover it. And I had one son who is absolutely enamored of anything survivalist. And so if anything bad happens, he's the one I'm going to go find, because he'll make sure that I get through it. And if he, you know, if an airplane crashes, he's the one that's going to find our way out of the woods, you know, that kind of thing. But he learned a lot of his skills through mentoring other people with other people who knew the skill that he wanted to learn, and then he would hang out with them, so to speak, and they would teach him all he wanted to know about that, and then we'd move on to the next mentor to find the next information that he wanted to know. What I find about the skill about finding mentors is something that whether we realize it as adults or not, we do. When we are passionate about something and we want to learn something about it, we go find someone who knows how to do it, and we become friends with them, or we, you know, whatever. You know, I want to learn how to make a quilt. Well, you go find somebody who makes beautiful quilts, and you hang out with them until it rubs off on you. What we are trying to do as homeschool moms is we are trying to create, hopefully, a love of learning and a passion for moving past the only place I can learn is in a classroom with a teacher who knows more than me, and it's a lecture type thing, and we regurgitate it onto a test. One of the things that you need to understand is that the way things are now are not the way things were when we were in high school getting ready to go into college. It used to be that it would be 25 to 50 years before information doubled within a person's lifetime. Now it's 4 to 5 years. The amount of information that is being produced doubles. So that means that, number one, you can take this home and write this on your fridge: there is no possible way for my child to learn everything there is to know. I do not have to teach them that. So write that on your fridge so that every time you panic, you can tell yourself, I do not have to teach them everything they need to know. What you do need to teach them is how to find the information that they need. Statistically, a person who is entering the workforce today, a recent college graduate, is going to have 5 to 7 careers over their lifetime. That's not job changes, that's career changes. And that means that the people who are going to survive the workforce are the people who can go out and learn something new, and learn it quickly, and learn it efficiently. So teaching your children how to find mentors is so important, because that is going to be the difference from them being successful or not successful in their future years. Another aspect of this is that when your child is changing these jobs, we have no idea, because information is doubling every 4 to 5 years. Think 5 years ago. What was the world like? What were the devices that you had in your hands? Did we all have smartphones? Did we all walk around with the little tablets? What's it going to be in another 5 years or another 10 years? The people that are going to survive are going to be the people who think outside the box, and people who know how to learn, and they know how to learn effectively. So teaching your child to find a mentor is going to be a lifesaver for them. Okay, so let's say that you don't feel comfortable with the mentor thing or trading. You don't have people in your area that can do this. So what about full curriculum courses? Okay, there's, I just listed a few on my handout here. These are homeschool-friendly full curriculum courses. These are not college courses. These are not college-oriented courses. but they are high school courses that are homeschool friendly. The first one is Konos.com, and they have a four-year curriculum for that. It doesn't cover math or science, but it covers everything else. And so they learn study skills and literature and history and all of that stuff. It's a very well put together. If your child goes through the Konos program, they will be more than ready for college. Then the other one is Sunlight. Again, it's a curriculum that includes everything but math and science. A lot of very literature based. And then there's Classical Conversations, which is a it's a classical education approach, and is actually a co-op, and you can start co-ops in your own area, and the moms work the program and create the co-ops that the kids work through. And you can find more information about that on Classical Conversations. There's Ambleside Online, which is a Charlotte Mason-based curriculum. If nothing else, you should go online and look at their book lists of what your child should be reading through high school. And it starts at zero and works its way through 12K. Ambleside Online is free, doesn't cost anything, except the books that you need. And the books, most of the books are books that are out of print, but people have, because of Ambleside Online, you can actually go on to Amazon and find all of the books because they're reprinting them through Amazon now. And so that's a great curriculum option as well if you don't have the funds to be able to do some of these other options. Okay, so suppose you just have a class that is, you know, you just one class. You know, understand, you know, you can get your kid through everything but the writing. I just can't teach writing. I just can't teach the science. I don't know what to do about these. Well, these are some classes, some places to find classes where you just need one or two classes. So you have the virtual homeschool group. They have the Apologia classes, the science classes online. There's two ways that you can do the course. You can either pay into it, and then it's an online class where there's class discussions and the teacher is doing live lectures and things like that. Or for free, you can go on and you can find the classes that they've previously taped. So there's no interaction between you and the teacher, but all of the information is there. She has little videos that you can watch for each of the courses. And so you can do it at your own pace. And they also have some other classes that you can do as well, but the ones that most people use are the Apologia classes. And then for writing, there's rightnow.com. This one is great. It's for the poet or whatever who wants someone to be able to help them learn how to do that. One of my favorites is thegreatcourses.com. These are audio and DVD courses taught by college professors from around the country. And they find the people who are the best teachers about this particular topic. And you can either buy the DVD of it or you can buy just the audio portion of it. And these are fabulous classes. And they cover all sorts of things, from cooking classes to computer programming to history classes, literature classes, art classes, all sorts of classes. You can get an entire high school education just from these great courses. One of my sons is a great auditory learner, and he, rather than read a book, he'd rather listen. And so he worked a job his senior year where he could listen to things while he was doing this job, and he listened to 8 of these classes. And these classes are not just, you know, an hour. They are like 24 classes or 35 classes because it's a full semester. And he listened to 8 of them over like a 6-month period because he was absolutely fascinated with them. But they have everything from writing courses, anything that you could possibly imagine. You don't get credit for these classes, but they are taught by college professors. And their cooking classes are by the American Culinary Institute. And then for the writeathome.com, this is a good one for if you want your child to be graded on their writing ability. They have two different programs. One, you can put them into a class, and they're by semester, and so they have English 101, you know, ninth grade English, and you can have them go through that ninth grade English. They write papers, they turn the papers in, they grade them, and they send them back. They give them critique on what they could do to be better. And it goes through all the type of literature classes that you would want to do for high school years. The other program that they have is that you can submit papers that your child has written, and for a fee, they will grade it for you and send it back. One of my daughters was really into creative writing, and she didn't want my input because I said, "Oh, that's so great." That's not what she wanted. She wanted actual critiquing from someone who was not her mother. And so she took the creative writing course, and it was great because they actually... the feedback that your child gets is not just an A, B, C, or D, but, okay, in this paragraph, you should have explained it a little bit more detail, not sure what you meant by this, or they will say, oh, that is a fantastic metaphor, that is amazing, that's exactly what you want to do. And so it's very, very personable, and we really enjoyed the classes that we took from them. Write from the Heart is a similar program. I like Write at Home better, just my own personal opinion. Okay, so if you want to do correspondence schools where they provide all the stuff that you need to do and you don't want to have to worry about it, you just hand your child the books, then these are some options. You have byu.edu. They have high school courses. My own personal opinion is that their high school ones are a little watered down, and I would look for other sources besides theirs. Their college courses, their online college courses, are not that way, but their high school ones they're not geared necessarily towards homeschool kids. They're more for kids who are going through high school and discover they are missing a credit and they have to get it fast. And so that's more, now they're changing that and they're trying to do better, but that's the process that they're working towards. Okay, then there's Oak Meadow, and again, they're an online curriculum. And then there's American School of Correspondence. All of these two are, do they give you the books? Do you send back the assignments? They grade them. They give you your child credit based on how well they did. but it's basically public school brought home. And that works for some kids, it doesn't work for others. Then there's Williamsburg Academy, and they have online classes that are actually online. So you sign your child up, and the class meets every Tuesday at 10 o'clock, and they do online one-on-one. They have a whole group of kids that are online. Your child works through the classes, they have the assignments, they do the assignments. This is very college push oriented. They're a college prep academy, and so the classes are a little bit more rigorous. And in my experience, it takes a very organized child to get through a full load of Williamsburg's classes. So if you would do, if you were to sign your kid up for every class that they need through them, because these classes are so in-depth, it might drown some kids and others will eat it up. So you just need to know your child. Now taking one or two classes to get them oriented to it, so that they can get the swing of how those type of classes work, that would be my recommendation, and then you can decide whether you want to do a full complement of classes. And then there's American Heritage, which is set up similarly. And Liahona Education is the same way. And then there's Liberty EDU Online Academy. And this is through Liberty University. And they are homeschool friendly. And they encourage homeschoolers to do their program. So when you work with them, they also have a online college program that you can do. So they have the high school component and then they have the college component, and so you can decide which one you want to do. But they have great support for homeschoolers. They understand homeschooling, and so they're a good resource. And then another one that's for classical education is Great Books Academy, and their curriculum is based off the Great Books series. And so they have classes on all the literature and those type of things that go with the, and they're online as well. Okay, so then you have dual enrollment. You can do those type of classes where you have, you know, BYU has dual enrollment classes. Like I said, Liberty University has online classes, and they, like I said, are homeschool friendly. You have Regents College, and then you have community colleges. Now, there's advantages and disadvantages to doing all of these. If you have a child who is struggling with school, then doing these dual enrollments, if you stack too many classes, they're gonna struggle with them. But if you have a child who just eats this stuff up, this is a good way for them to do it. What's interesting is that, this leads into the open source classes as well. One thing that they're finding is that with these online classes, especially with the free ones, people don't follow through. They start the class all excited and they don't follow through. But what's interesting is they're finding homeschoolers do, because they've learned how to finish a project that they start. And they're also more, because we have conditioned them that on how to do hard things, when they hit a snag with a class, they're more willing to work through it and actually finish the course. And so they've started all these open source classes like Yale and Stanford and MIT, and they thought they would be a big, huge hit and that everybody would jump on the bandwagon and all these people would be signing up for these classes. But most people don't know how to do an online class. They don't know how to do a course where there's not a teacher standing over them and saying, you must do this. And so there's concern expressed that these things are, some of them are going to shut down because there's not enough interest in them. So it behooves us as homeschoolers, if we want these kind of resources, use them so that they'll keep them open. So if you have these dual enrollment courses, they count as high school and college credit. And so if you can get your child through to an associate's degree in high school, then they can transfer to most universities. But again, like they were saying in the previous class, it depends on if the community college is accredited through what source, as to which colleges will take what your child has done. You also have to, with this dual enrollment, be aware that if your child, certain majors, this is not an advantage to have them do associate degrees, because they have to start as freshmen. Like if you're a nurse, you have to start your nursing classes in your freshman year and work your way through. And so if you have your associate's degree, you basically have to start over again. And so there's some, your child has to be aware of what their point is in going to school when they sign up for these dual enrollment classes, so they don't shoot themselves in the foot. A friend of mine had a daughter who did her associate's degree through their community college, and then she applied to go to nursing school, and she had to start all over again. Now, she didn't waste her education, so to speak, but she wasted money thinking that she was getting ahead, and she really didn't. And the reason was because they expect you to start with your classes. The classes that you're taking require 4 years to get through in order for you to accomplish your degree. Not all degrees are like that, but there are some degrees that are, and if you're not aware of that, that can be problematic. So the most important thing that you can do as you're preparing your child for college and deciding how you're going to school them during this time is, what is their ultimate goal? Do you just want them to be ready for school, for college, generically? That would be different than if they have a specific career goal in mind. Okay, these are the classes that you need to take. These are the experiences that you need to have. These are the places where you can get your classes from. And this class, you can't take this class. It won't be as effective. We need to do it through this source instead. Okay, so back to the open source classes. If your child has a drive to do certain things, you know, they have a passion about certain things, these open source classes are fabulous because they will teach them and give them experiences that are college equivalent, but it doesn't cost you anything to have them go through all these classes. So they can take these classes and decide, okay, I thought I was interested in that, but I'm really not. But they still have the experience of having done that. If you want, just about every major university has open source classes. Also, if your child wants to take classes at the college, just to experiment with things that they're passionate about, you can also have them do, the name escapes me, they can take the class for no credit or audit the class. So they can attend the class, they don't get credit for it, but it doesn't cost anything to just hang out in the classroom. So that you can have them test out things, okay, I want to take this art history class, or I want to do this computer source class, or whatever. They can, most universities will allow them to attend the class without getting credit for it, and without cost. So that's another option as well. Another place to find mentors is, if you live close to a college, finding somebody who's majoring in what your child is interested in. That's another place to find mentors and tutors. There's so many opportunities that for anybody to say, I can't teach my child high school, it's because they lack the information that's available. There are so many options out there. This list right here, this is just the tip of the iceberg. If you type in full curriculum courses in Google, boom, you know, you get a whole slew of them. You can find online classes. Wherever there's a need, there's people that are willing to fill it, and there's a need for homeschool, high school stuff, and opportunities and classes, and there is a plethora of stuff out there. Okay, so we've got some time here, so I thought I would give you guys the opportunity to ask me some questions. Does anybody have any questions? Yes.
With the open source classes, so they can watch the whole class, and then can they take a CLEP?
Yes, absolutely. I did not put any CLEP test stuff on here. That was silly of me.
Any of the open source classes?
Yes. So well, if you're studying for the test, that's a class. So yes, it would count for both. But the thing that you need to be aware of is that when your child takes the CLEP test, some universities will not accept the CLEP credit, or they will only accept this much. So if your child has a specific school that they're wanting to go to, they need to contact that school before they take the CLEP test. And the same thing with AP tests. Sometimes they'll take them and sometimes they won't. It depends on the university. Any other questions in the back?
Go ahead and repeat the questions.
Oh, yes. She wanted to know about CLEP tests and how those would work. Yes. Okay, you want to know what Common Core curriculums are using, which homeschool curriculums are using Common Core? Right now, none of them. Because it just hasn't filtered down to the homeschool stuff yet. Now, what we are going to see is that this is going to affect the ACT and the SAT in the near future. They're going to be rewriting the tests. How that's going to affect it, whether it's going to make it so that our children don't pass the tests because they don't know these things, hasn't been made clear yet, and we're still working about, through that. But it hasn't filtered through to these things, the resources that I've listed here. Now, the correspondence schools, like the American School of Correspondence, that one will probably be one of the first ones affected because they do a lot of private school stuff, And basically, to make this non-political, anything that takes federal money is going to be affected. So your charter schools are going to be affected. You know, anything that's going to be, any of your correspondence schools that are supported through federal monies are going to be affected by the Common Core. Yes?
You made the comment that the correspondence for BYU-UW for high school was watered down. What are your thoughts about their dual enrollment? Is that the same
thing? It's the same thing. The BYU dual enrollment is, it's not the same thing. Let me back up. What you're doing for dual enrollment, anytime it's dual enrollment, you're taking college classes in high school. So when somebody says, I'm doing dual enrollment, you're getting credit for high school. You're really taking college classes in high school. Does that make sense? And so for dual enrollment, it's really not, how do I put that? Once you get the college credit, your high school doesn't matter. Does that make sense? So you're not really doing... it's semantics, but it's still, if you understand that concept, then using these other resources that are not dual enrollment will not scare you. Am I making myself clear?
Well, so the BYU is one and the same. They don't have a separate high school classes.
They do have separate high school classes and college classes, but if you're doing dual enrollment, you're taking college classes as high school. These do not count towards...
Exactly.
Yes, because they're college classes.
Are they watered down?
No, they're not. Yes. So if you're going to take a class from BYU, a correspondence class, take the college class. Don't worry about the high school class because they're going to have to repeat it doing the college courses, whatever they do. Does that make sense? So if you're going to sign your child up for a class as a dual enrollment, don't pick the watered down version if they're able to do the college level. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? Yes.
How about
for middle school? Some colleges will let kids do it under 16. Oh, BYU for middle school. If you have a child who can sign up for these classes and they do accept them for their college classes, if they can work through the class, there's no problem with them doing young. I have a friend of mine who, her daughter was ready for college by 16 because she was just so smart that she had her high school finished by the time she was 16.
No, I mean, I just enrolled my son in Christian Online School.
In which one?
Keystone.
Oh, Keystone, yeah.
And if I'm going to transfer him to BYU because...
Okay, after 30 years of experience in graduating 7 kids from my high school... One of the things that I see over and over again is that homeschool parents want to push their kids into college so that they're done at 15, they're done with college, and so that they can get the jump on life. Let me just back you up a little bit and let me explain something. If your child does not know what they want to do, having them go through college early is not an advantage. If they have a goal and a point and a purpose and they want to push through college at an early age and then move on to what they want to do, that's completely different. One of the things that we're doing to our children as a society is we're making them grow up way too fast. So why not just let them enjoy the learning process through their high school years and worry about college later? That is an option. We can do that, and our children will not be screwed up. Isn't that nice to know? As we, like I said in my earlier class, I learned very clear. I sent one of my kids off to school way young. And it was a good experience for him, but it wasn't a great experience. The college classes that he took were great. The relationship parts of it, because he wasn't emotionally ready to have gone off to college, that was not so great. I would never do it again. So having had that experience, what I decided instead is that when do our children ever get the opportunity to spend buku amounts of time doing major study on what they are interested in? And so that's what I allow my kids to do in high school. Yes, they have to be ready for college. I make all my kids be ready. They have to do everything that they need to be able to go to college so that they, if they change their minds or whatever, when they're, you know, older, they can go to college. They're prepared. But our, their senior year, they get to do their study of whatever they want full-time. It's a full-time job, and that's what they do. I had one son who was very into politics, and through his study of politics, he realizes that the greatest microcosm of politics was World War II, and he spent an entire year studying World War II from the British point of view, from the American point of view, from the French point of view, from the Russian point of view, from the Italian point of view, through this whole thing, and he has a grasp of what's going on in today's politics better than anybody I know, because he spent that quality time, and he could run down any rabbit hole he wanted to find. If he found this one, he would go off and find books and information, and we found a guy who was another, a guy we knew who was also a World War II buff, and they spent hours talking about World War II. But he would not have had that time if he was trying to push through college at the same time that he was doing this. And so this has determined where his career is going to go and the things that he's interested in doing. Does that explain that question?
Can you just give an example of, you know, like one semester of one of your kids?
What age? Do you want me to explain this?
A ninth grader.
Okay. I just finished a ninth grader this year. We started out the school year with him not understanding what direction he wanted to go. He was not motivated to do anything because he couldn't figure out who he was or what he wanted to do. So I felt impressed that he needed to have more experiences outside of our home where he was in front of people, because he was starting to become a homebody, didn't want to interact with people. So I signed him up for acting and ballroom dance, and you know, he takes the piano lessons and all of this stuff. And so he was very much outside doing these outside activities. In addition to this, he was also doing, he was in my AP biology class, he was doing his math, he was, and then we have a curriculum with our literature. Now, because he did a play this last semester, that required lots and lots of practice, and they did like 10 performances of this play and such. We backed off on the academics except for math, because when you get behind in math, you get really behind. So we backed off on some of those things, and we had, okay, if you want to participate in this, these are the things you have to do, and it was motivated to do his language arts and his the math that he needed to do and his history and things like that. But my expectations were less, because I know that eventually he's going to catch up with where he's supposed to be. And so now this coming year will be different. And each year that my kids do school is different, because their focus is different. Okay, we were really heavy on math and science this year in addition to his extracurricular activities. Well, next year we'll do a little less extracurricular activities and put more focus on the literature and history that he didn't do so strongly this year. Not because he didn't do them, but because they were not the focus. Does that make sense? So when you individualize the high school experience, instead of saying, okay, we are going to focus on math and science, and you know, so your child has like 10 classes that they're trying to keep up with each semester, you burn them out. We would get burnt out on that kind of a schedule. I get burnt out chasing my kids around saying, you didn't do this, and you still have to do that, and you know, this test, it's due. But when we relax and take a chill pill and say they will eventually get all this stuff crammed in their brains, one of the, my children were involved in a correspondence school a few years ago, and we had to track the hours, and it was really getting frustrated because they were saying, well, you have to do 180 hours in order to get credit for a full two semesters of classes and stuff like that. And one of the parents got really bent out of shape because of they were being so strict about it, that she actually went in and timed how long the average high school class took. And she said, actually, when you measure it out, a semester is only 65 hours worth of class time, not the 90 that they say it is. So once you figure, okay, my child only has to spend 65 hours per semester on a particular subject in order to know it, according to what the high school says, that counts as a diploma, then you can take a chill pill and relax. This is not college. This is not the intensive study where your child has to have, 12 classes and they're all 5 credits each, and we can relax and breathe and be a family and do fun stuff. Does that make sense? Did that answer your question? Okay. Yes.
Is that kind of state-specific too?
It is. It's state-specific, and it depends on whether they require testing and whether you have to do, attendance and things like that. But if you know that your child's sitting there reading the literature books that you assigned, like I had my son come to me. He was very put out because he didn't think he was well educated in his high school years. And I said, okay, before I knock your head off, what do you mean you're not well educated? He said, well, I didn't read all the books in my room. Well, he had like 600 books in his bedroom. And he says, well, I only read probably a third of those books. And I said, how many books do you think they read in high school? He goes, oh, a lot more than that. I said, no, they don't. And so I explained, because a lot of times our kids think that the high school kids are doing a lot more stuff and learning a lot more than they actually are. And so, and we think they are too. And that's not necessarily so. Yes, the ACT test. Okay, about the ACT test, do I test my children to see where they are? Not in high school, because I know where they are. Because the way that I do school is that I know what my kids are doing, I know what they're learning, and they're not going to get by with a D. You know, if they get a D, they're not done. They have to go back and finish the course. And so that's how I gauge where they are. And so if they've completed the course, they get an A, right? Because they completed the course. So that's how it works. And now what was the other part of your question? Or did I answer it?
I'm sorry. Mine's only in sixth grade right now.
Okay. So you were wondering, the other part of your question was, how soon should I start my child on getting the ACT? Okay, the thing about the ACT is that they have to be up on the math. So if they haven't done the algebra and geometry, it's a waste of time for them to take the test. So if they are up on their algebra and their geometry, they can get a decent score on it. And yes, you can take the test as many times as you want to, but if you have a kid who doesn't test well, you don't want to put him through that stress 900 times. So, if my kids get a score that they're less than thrilled with, I will let them do it again. But I don't stress about it. And what's interesting is they do pretty well with, the craziness that is our family. They actually are doing pretty well. So, okay, one last question. Anybody have anything else? Wow, I answered everybody's questions. Okay, then I guess I am done. Thank you very much.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.